Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
What's going on, everybody? I am your girl, Karina Reichman, and I am absolutely overjoyed to welcome you back to yet another episode of Inappropriate Happiness, baby. And I am joined by my dear pal. He's sitting next to me. We're both on wooden chairs, gripping the microphone with a fistful of steel. It is my boy, Isaac Sloan. How you doing, dude?
Karina, you're being too fabulous. You have to stay and talk with me.
I would be thrilled. I feel like we need to let people in on this. Guys, this is good stuff. We're just off to the races already, okay? So, you know, Isaac and I were at a show that shall not be named recently, and we're sitting around, hanging out, and a very nice, you know, well-intentioned guy, you know, comes around, sort of definitely on psychedelic drugs. Who's to say, though? I just don't know. Kind of twitching a little bit, tweaking a little bit. Trying to get close, you know, trying to get close and sort of hovering. I was like, hey, how's it going? He's like, hey, you know, and that's totally cool. I'm super here for that. But, you know, he went away and Isaac was like, dude, did you know that guy? And I was like, no. He's like, cool. Like, there was a second there where I was just going to be like, dude, you're being too weird. You got to go. And that has sort of worked its way into our vernacular over the last couple of weeks, wouldn't you say?
Well, you know, it's been actually an extraordinary year of going to shows with you and the love that you get from the audiences of these different bands of all varieties and all different kinds of adoration from people who are clearly shy and being a little bit coy when they come up to you and just want to introduce themselves.
Sure.
To other people who relay facts about you back to yourself.
Always.
And, you know, generally people who want to chat. And for me, it's very cool.
And for me, it's very cool. I pride myself on being a woman of the people in this regard. You know, I like to sell my own merch. I don't have any, I love talking to people after the show, before the show, you know, or doesn't even matter what kind of headspace I'm in. It's all good. Like, I love the public, you know.
Oh, and a majority of these people translate then to friends.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, totally. That's, you know, many of my adult friendships have been made in this regard, which, you know, have a lot to say about as well. But yeah, you know, once in a while, it's just like, you know, for the record, everybody, like, I'm, you know, honestly, it's so shocking to me that people come and say hello at the shows I attend, you know, knowing who I am from my whatever, the podcast, my musical career, maybe that one time I was on America's Got Talent with a flame spewing helmet on my head. I just don't know where they know me from. But so I'm always, you know, super taken aback in a good way and just being like, oh my God, hey, yeah, totally. No, I'm just here to enjoy the show, much like you, you know. But yeah, that one situation, you know, I'm just going to come out and say it, you know, if you want to say, hey, totally come say, hey, But like, you know, the sort of hovering and whispering and like not, you know what I mean? It's like, I know, like we can just totally just say, hey, you know what I mean? And there's no need to be too weird and have to go.
Because we want you to be too fabulous and have to stay.
The thing that we want more than anything is, dude, you're being too fabulous. You got to stay, which is how Isaac opened the episode. Like
speaking
a
of, you've been at a couple of shows last week. Tell us, what do you do? Tell us everything.
Tell us more. So what, you know, we've had a very nice week of show going. Oh my God. Including, you know, things I would have never attended were it not for my friend and lover, Johnny Beach, which is a stupid way of saying my boyfriend of the last 5 years. So Johnny is a concert promoter here in New York City. So I, you know, with great pleasure get to, you know, attend the concerts he puts on. One of which, very, you know, out of left field booking for Johnny, right, was 3 Days Grace at Webster Hall, which, of course, I had very little interest in attending, but somehow it was a game time decision, baby. And I was just like, oh, you have to go over there to like shake the hands and kiss the babies? I'm coming. Fuck it, you know? And that's a band, for those of you who don't know, and you probably don't, you know, sort of, let's call it like an emo metal adjacent sort of whatever band from like 2005, right?
Not the music we typically cover on this podcast.
Very much not, you know, but I love to be a stranger in worlds like this. You know what I mean? I like to, and you know, for those who don't know, I do certainly pride myself on being a heavy metal fan, a punk rock fan. I love heavy music in general. This stuff, you know, when it came out and I was like in fifth grade, you know, there were maybe two or three songs that were like on, you know, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, you know what I mean? That I was familiar with from playing GameCube or whatever. And I had maybe a few of them on my green iPod mini. Since then, there's been very little listening to 3 Days Grace, but I had to go, you know, and it was like one of those weird things where it's like, oh, this is almost music I like. But it's a little, you know, heavy, but with that sort of saccharine undertone going on. It's let's just say it wasn't for me. Having said that, love to be a stranger in a strange land like that. You know what I mean? Just people who are going apeshit over music that you don't care for. Unbelievable.
It's a cool thing to witness.
It's really fun. And you know me, I mean, I, to a fault, I'll go to anything, man. I like to just partake in these different subsections of music and see what people are freaking out about. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, the great Ebo Taylor. He came and played 2 nights at Music Hall of Williamsburg here in the great state of New York and the great city of New York, more importantly. Ebo Taylor, 86 years young, Isaac. He is from Ghana. And he is, you know, an absolute unequivocal legend and, you know, a pioneer of Afrobeat among, you know, many other things. And basically, you know, he's so old and people are hip to the fact that, you know, life's not infinite, you know what I'm saying? And so people were like, holy shit, we have to go see Ebo Taylor. So these 2 nights were a bombastic success and his band is comprised of, I believe, many of his sons and like their cousins, and it's just a complete family affair. Everybody dressed in flamboyant patterns, playing incredibly rhythmic, danceable, incredible music. And the vibe in there was unparalleled. It was a cross-generational, cross-cultural crowd, which was just a beautiful thing to see. It was just about everything that I like in a concert. And people were throwing down like it was 1993 and Criss Cross was in the building. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I regret not going to this based on the way you just described it. But I have listened to some Ebo Taylor.
Yeah.
And that vibe translates through the recorded music and through the live stuff, live videos I watched online. Really cool. Somebody I did not know about until last week when
right.
Johnny told us we have to go see this. And I'm so glad you did because it just sounds like, you know, what the world needs.
It really was what the world needs. I was such a strong believer in, you know, people look for answers in all kinds of places. Like, that is a great place to find your answers at the Ebo Taylor concert if you're a searcher, a wanderer. It was a beautiful night of music, and I almost wish I went to the second night, But guess what? I saw my very dear friends, the Unstoppable, the little engine that could, Krungbin, at the Prospect Park Bandshell, which also, you know, in a very different way, of course, you know, they're not from Ghana, they're from Houston, Texas, but, you know, in this sort of world music tradition that they are trying to kind of uphold in their own way, you know, with the Thai funk, among other things, you know, it was very similar in the sense of people of all colors, creeds, ages, getting down to this just unbelievable three-piece. I feel like, you know, we haven't talked about Krungbin as much as we should on this podcast, because I used to talk about them, you know, whether, you know, if I was ordering dinner, it'd be like, hey, you know, what can I get you, man? I'd be like, hey, you know, I'll take a fried chicken sandwich. And have you heard of Krungbin? Like, they're really just killing it. Krungbin used to be every third word out of my mouth. But let me revive that for those of you listening. This band, you know, it's a special thing when you sort of see a band go from 0 to 60 the way they have, right? And I was there at the Relics office in 2016 when they played their first ever quote unquote New York show. Then there was Rough Trade, then there was Brooklyn Bowl, then there was Brooklyn Steel, then they opened for Leon Bridges two nights at Radio City Music Hall, and then the pandemic struck. Or, well, I mean, they did that, and then I opened for them at the Capitol Theater. And then they played Summer Stage that same sort of weekend. Anyway, these are just their New York plays. All I'm saying is now they're selling out two nights at Radio City on their own, and they just played a more than sold out Prospect Park Bandshell. And it's just an amazing thing to behold, these three people who play real instruments, no tracks. They just get up there, and in their minimalistic and super funky way, they just bring the fire every time, and it's just such enjoyable, likable music. And of course, they've done it incredibly well, where, like, you know, you're walking into a restaurant, Krungbin's playing. You're turning on your television, Krungbin's on every commercial. It's an amazing thing to behold, and I'm just so happy for them. Mark, Laura, and DJ, they're my pals. It was an amazing show.
Let's talk about that for a second. Yeah. The friendship that emerged between you guys and you opening for them at the Capitol Theater.
Good point, Isaac. Let's draw it all back. So, you know, I was there sort of early at those, you know, I was sort of half working out of the Relics office at the time. So I saw them there, you know, by virtue of sort of just being around, you know. But I didn't meet them until Outside Lands 2017. Where I was playing on the same stage as them. They were maybe two slots after me. Like, I was playing with Marco Benevento at the time, right? So Marco played at, like, I don't know, 1 o'clock, and they played at like 4 o'clock. So it was really, times have changed. They straight up headlined that festival last year. You know what I mean? Like, main stage, 40,000 people, whatever it was, you know, absolutely crazy. But back then, you know, I got off stage, right? And I was, you know, Krungbin fan number one at the time. We had a copy, we had two copies actually, of The Universe Smiles Upon You, their debut record, on vinyl. And I did extensive tour bus touring with Marco that year. That year we were on the bus months at a time, going all around the country. I was 23 years young and happy as a clam, you know. So we're going, and after every show we get back on our tour bus and we spin the same record, the Krungbin debut, you know. And so we're at Outside Lands. I just have gotten off stage with Marco, and some gentleman approaches me, like, at the sort of you know, artist little hang area where I'm pouring myself an iced tea or a lemonade or something, I don't know. And this gentleman goes, dude, was that just you up there? Because I've already changed my outfit, right? And he's like, and I'm like, yeah, hi, you know. And he's like, dude, that we all watched, that was insane. Like, what? And I was like, oh, dude, thank you so much. Are you in one of these bands? And he's like, yeah, I'm Mark. I'm in Krungbin. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I go, please come with me. And I grab him, and then he, like, Laura was not too far away, and I grab both of them, and we, you know, I bring them into our dressing room, and I'm like, Marco, this is Krungbin. Yeah, and he's like, oh my God, dude, we spin you guys every fucking day. We love you. Holy shit. And there's actually a really great picture of the Marco Benevento trio and the trio known as Krungbin that was taken there in 2017. And then, you know, bless, we just kept in touch, you know, and Laura and I, by virtue of being, you know, female bass players and just, you know, people, we kind of kept on in this really, you know, organic, awesome way. And then in 2019, you had a very important part of this, Isaac. They were playing the Capitol Theater and you were like, Karina, you should open that show. And I was like, what? And you were like, yeah, why not? And I was like, holy shit, you're right. Why not?
And you opened with your trio. Did you have songs at that point?
I had literally not one piece of recorded music to my name. I had been playing shows with my trio that were improvised from the ground up. Not an A section or a B section to jump off of. Not a cover tune. Zilch. So I sort of took that gig as a real kick in the ass and an impetus to be like, Karina, you got this dream gig, you know what I mean? Like, you need to fucking write some goddamn songs. What are you thinking, you know? And I got in the studio with my band and recorded my first single, Plants, which now has, you know, is gonna about to hit a million streams on Spotify, and I'm so overwhelmed by the response Plants got. I thought it would never be heard by anyone. And Plants came out 3 days before that Krungbin show. So that...
Wow, okay. Yeah.
And I really, really kind of, you know, used that gig as like a real, like, holy shit, it was just a mindset shift for me. You know what I mean? It was like, no, like, this isn't... You're not playing in the sandbox anymore. Like, this is crazy. Like, and I know I got it by virtue of being pals with them, but also, like... I don't know. They wouldn't have let me do it if they didn't like, you know, the recordings of my live band that had been circulating around that time, you know? So very exciting to do that. And, you know, I'll just throw it out here. I am ready to go back on tour with Krungbin. And I would waste my, and it wouldn't be a waste. It wouldn't be a waste. But I am ready to spend, you know, 9 months of my life on the road following those guys around. I just think what they're doing is so cool. I love their affect, I love their vibe, and I love their music, and I love them. So
it's a good match on a lot of different levels.
It was
some that I don't think have really been tapped into yet, some that are yet to be kind of explored, and I think there's more of that in the future.
I like the way you think. I couldn't agree more. And it was astute of you then, and it's astute of you now. Thank you. One last fact about this show, ladies and gentlemen, that I think was really funny and also jubilating for yours truly, is that I'm, you know, at the Krungbin show, dancing, all good, you know, look over my shoulder and maybe not 4 feet behind me is David Byrne in a hat, nonetheless, but it's very much David Byrne. He's dancing, he's enjoying, blah, blah, blah. We're in sort of like the VIP section that's to the left of front of house, right? So blah, blah, blah. Very early on in the Krungbin show, Mark, guitar player, announces from the stage. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, take this time to introduce yourself to the people around you. And I was like, hot diggity damn, if that ain't an opening. So everybody, you know, me and all my friends and whatever, we all just turned around and started shaking everybody's hand, including David Byrne. So that was, you know, an exciting element of the evening, you know. Always incredible to see him out and about, let alone enjoying one of your favorite bands just like you are. So,
well,
amazing.
I think that's particularly cool because David Byrne is such a important showman who really values finding humanity and humanness amongst cerebral, ecstatic, and kind of driving music. So for there to be a break in the show,
yes,
in which you're encouraged to meet your neighbor amidst a sort of collective dance party musical environment, I mean, that is a wonderful setting to meet David Byrne in. That's not, you know, meeting him as a friend of a friend at a gala event. That is
certainly,
you know, taking part in the beauty of communal experience with somebody who has been such an arbiter of that over so many years and inspired, you know, what Krungbin does, but also just like the fact that music happens in summer stage and you know, Prospect Park. I mean, you know, just across the you know, another borough in Manhattan at Central Park stop making sense, you know, and then things like that. So I don't know. There's a kind of interesting sort of generational transmission happening with that, which I just think is so, I don't know, it's so cool.
It was so cool. Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. It felt like the most opportune and in that good way, right? Because, you know, sometimes it wasn't like I was there, you know, and having a prolonged conversation with David Byrne, but we were taking part in the celebration right. of the music, which
yes.
is exactly what I want to do with him. You know what yes, I mean? Not that exactly. I don't want to, of course, I would love to pick his brain and sit across from him at a dinner and go deep, you know, with words, but we were going plenty deep without them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful kind of night in the park, an amazing thing. Krungbin's still on tour, people. Go see him. Go see them while they're hot. Go see them while they're not playing arenas, because these guys, you know, there's not a ticket left on the table wherever they go, you know. It bodes well for the future. I'm just so happy for them. And they're yet another sort of glimmering example in my head of a band that, you know, say what you will, but they have done exactly as they have pleased from the get-go and stuck to it and have had immeasurable success doing it. And that's, you know, the only thing I care about, you know what I mean, is just seeing people be themselves to the nth degree. And they've done exactly that. So fucking go Krungbin, guys.
For the record, I really like them too. It's just very hot in New York City right now.
Oh, baby.
And, you know, it takes a lot to get me out to a park.
Oh, it was very caliente. Heat.
It was muy caliente.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Was schwitzing for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Isaac, you took a trip to a very sweaty place.
Yes.
To see another one of our favorite bands that have been unequivocally themselves from the get-go and have had immeasurable success.
Totally.
Tell me.
Well, you know, we haven't really dished on Fish. I guess we did when we saw all of the Jam Band Olympics was our big Fish Tour episode.
But yes.
They
yes.
have played a bunch of shows since we last talked about them. And yes, this three-night run in Atlantic City. But last Tuesday... August 2nd, they were at Blossom Music Center in Cayuga Falls, Ohio.
Boom.
And I couched toward that show and, you know, sort of listened in and out. And I just thought, like, wow, this is a very, very special show. And, you know, really great second set, a lot of fun jamming. And it really, you know, translated from the couch. You know, the next night they didn't have quite as much luck because of the weather delay in Clarkston. At the Pine Knob Music Amphitheater, they had to cut their set break and play one long set.
Which hadn't happened since Fenway.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah, Fenway some years ago.
Yeah.
There was a rain delay and they played through. But yeah, then they took over the beach in Atlantic City for three nights. You and I have seen many Fish shows in Atlantic City, but neither of us had been to... the beach set up until this point. We'd done
correct all Boardwalk Hall
and Bader Field.
Yes,
but this was very cool. And you know, they did it last year in 21 for three nights and repeated this same setup. And it seems like the first night was particularly successful. People are really talking about how deep the jams went in the second set of the first night. But yeah, I myself and our producer Marlo Shankweiler showed up for the Saturday night show, and you know, as you said, unequivocally themselves, and they continue to delight the people who love them the most. And it was really just something else to see all of these people on the boardwalk and on the beach in Atlantic City. I mean, it just seemed like there was no end to the audience. It was just...
Kept going.
And they really played to, I think, that energy and the ocean beside them. And it definitely blew my expectations out of the water.
If for, you will.
For what Fish on the Atlantic City beach could be. I could see making a point of going for all three nights if they do this again next year.
Was it reminiscent at all of being in Mexico, or were you still cognizant of the fact that you were in Atlantic City, even though you were by the ocean.
It's hard not to be cognizant of the fact that you're in Atlantic City when you're there. It is a one-of-a-kind kind of place, for better or for worse. There's a lot to love. There's a lot to wonder about in terms of the general activity that takes place in Atlantic City.
Especially under that boardwalk, let me tell you.
It was a little bit different from Mexico in the sense that the sort of all-out and inclusive, not in the sense of your food and drink is taken care of,
sure,
but inclusive in the sense that in Mexico, like, Chris Carota lights the trees.
Yes.
Here you had some floodlights on the audience throughout the entire show.
Understood. Understood. And are people actually, you know, I mean, I'm sure people are, but you, Isaac, you're there, right? You wear flip-flops to the show? What'd you wear?
I wore sneakers to the show, which I don't know if it was the right choice.
Did you take them off at any point?
I kept them on.
You kept them on.
I don't know if I really, I think something about only going for one night.
Sure.
I didn't know how, you know, deep in the water I was about to get.
Certainly.
At this show.
What about our producer, Marlo Shankweiler?
She did take her shoes off once we found a place to stand.
Very interesting. Very yes. interesting. You see, these are the things I really, you know, because in Mexico, we've seen fish in Mexico a number of times, right? You go. You're pretty much unequivocally going to be either in sandals or barefoot the entire time.
Yes,
it's part
agreed.
Of it's part of the vibe, right? But I too think if I were just going down for the day, I would have donned sneakers.
Yeah.
And then you're there and then you're on sand, baby, and like you're wishing you were in sandals or something, or at least barefoot. I don't know.
Well, these are important questions, you know, and I didn't really go in with the sort of anthropological headspace that sometimes I do go into a fish show with. I was a little bit more there on, you know, vacation or something.
Totally. Totally. But without the sandals to pack it up, with baby.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's a thing. It's
know.
A thing. I feel like I would have pulled a U in this regard as well.
A little
but,
bit dipping my toe.
Yeah.
With the sneaker on in the Atlantic City beach
Delightful.
Experience.
Delightful.
But it was, I mean, it was also just, you know, to share that experience with so many people who don't, you know, get shut out because they could just keep selling tickets on the beach. So
certainly,
you know, people who wanted to be there were really able to get themselves there. It was just amazing to see how much fish lights up people's faces, really.
It's the best thing ever.
It's really a very cool thing. And you're going to be seeing them tomorrow
Ooh,
in Toronto.
Good point, Isaac.
And then they'll be closing out this sort of stint of the summer tour with three nights at Alpine over the weekend before closing it out for real. At Dick's in Colorado Labor Day weekend.
Which is a beautiful thing that they, you know, we say always, you know, of course there was a pandemic interruption, but it's become very much an expected thing that fish will close out their summer with Dick's.
Although we do have an added additional night this year, four nights.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Very enticing. And then, of course, in the middle of all this, between Alpine and Dick's, our friend Trey Anastasio is going to the Beacon Theater to perform two acoustic nights on the 19th and 20th of August.
Yes, you know, last time we talked about this on the podcast, you seemed to think that the sound system was going to interpret Trey's words into another language.
Correct.
So we'll have to see how that develops.
I'm going to come back with all the hot goss on this. I'm going to come back, talk about an anthropological study. I am going to go deep, and I'm going to call everybody I've ever known and find out why I think that. They're testing out and installing and keeping in the Beacon Theater a smart, quote-unquote, sound system. What that entails, I heard some rumblings through my friends who book shows at the Beacon Theater. Blah, blah, blah. I will do a far better job of retaining what it is that they were told, interpreting it, and then delivering it back on this podcast next week. But yeah, I hope that it's, you know, I hope
you're your own smart sound system.
I am my own smart sound system. Turns out I don't need a computer chip, baby. It's all in here and we're going to figure it out. But yeah, Trey stays busy. Trey, you know, also the Trey Anastasio band just announced they are going to play Halloween weekend in Chicago. So this is fun. This is great. It quells any sort of rumblings or rumors that Fish was going to do Halloween.
I will be in Azerbaijan for Halloween, which...
Isaac!
It's very exciting.
Wildly. I mean, the global nature of the man sitting next to me I mean, it's unbelievable. That's going to be the best.
I just thought Azerbaijan Halloween, you know, I've seen fish enough times. It's time to finally go for the gold.
Dip your sneakered toe into the proverbial waters.
Of Baku.
Of Baku. I mean, it seems right to me, baby. I will be performing at Halloween in Live Oak, Florida at the Spirit of the Suwannee Park, which is always a treat, and I look forward to being there. And that's going to be great, which is also put on by the same gentleman, Mr. Michael Berg, who puts on Sacred Rose, the inaugural Sacred Rose, which I'm really looking forward to at the end of this month.
We got to have him on the podcast.
Dude, he's great.
Turn it around on him.
Yeah. Be like, Berg, let's talk about you for a second. Forget about me. Forget about Krungbin, Kamasi, Hiatus Coyote, the War on Drugs, Goose. You know, I could rattle off the whole Sacred Rose lineup. No. We want to hear behind the man that put this all together. He's a great dude. All bullshit aside, I really love him very much. And it's incredible that literally the stage I play on is all those people I just mentioned. It goes, yeah, me, Blue to Tiger.
So cool.
Dude, it's the best. Hiatus Coyote, Kamasi Washington, closed out by my friends in Krungbin. I mean, it's going to be, I think, a real time to be alive. So looking forward to that. And, you know, we're in a beautiful moment in time here. Isaac tonight is going to go see Jimmy motherfucking Buffett at Jones Beach, the perfect locale to see him.
Will I wear sandals or sneakers? It remains to be seen.
I mean, you know, that sounds like a Birkenstocks kind of evening to me.
I think it is.
If there were ever a time or place, it's definitely that. Yeah. I will say that. And I am going to see a very different type of music. I'm going to see Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels opening for them live at Madison Square Garden. We'll be having a different kind of evening.
Well, I'll be catching Run the Jewels and Rage this Friday.
Fantastic.
So next week we can compare notes.
I mean, there's a lot of live music notes that we will have to compare after this week. I can't wait. These shows have been moved, you know, since 2020 or whatever. Or I don't know. It's been
I think that's right.
It's been a long, long time. You know, OG lineup. They're not doing anything fancy with it, meaning it's not like, yo, check out this new single, like blah, blah, blah. No, it's distilled 90s Rage Against the Machine. The world needs it now more than ever, and it's a message that is wildly important, and I'm so, you know, forget the message. Just kidding. Don't forget the message. But the riffs definitely hold the message near and dear, but let me tell you about the riffs that's literally support the message like a beautiful magic carpet ride to the soul. Honestly, they're going to have to hire a little extra security detail for your girl because I'm going to break every seat in the place. It's going to be bad. Nothing gets me from point A to point B faster than a little Rage Against the Machine, just for the record. So I'm wildly excited about this. And yeah, bright and early, plane to Toronto.
That's going to be very cool.
Seeing the fish from Vermont in Toronto.
Have you seen them in Toronto?
Never.
No, Canada? No.
Never seen them in Canada.
Neither have I.
It's going to be exciting.
It'll be very exciting.
I've only seen, you know, I have family in Canada, for those of you listening, family in Toronto. But, you know, considering I have been going there, I mean, it's been a minute, but when I was growing up, we would go 4 times a year, like whatever. Like, definitely have dug my toes in to Toronto. You know, I've only seen 3 concerts there. Chromeo, Beck, and Katie Lang.
Nice.
Not bad, right? Not bad. All in, you know, the last, I want to say, 6 years, you know? So pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Definitely, there were no concerts growing up.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to returning to the motherland and seeing my family and doing it up. So it's always fun to bring, you know, I'm bringing one of my cousins to the fish show. He's never seen fish. It's always an adventure. Am I right?
Definitely. He has a lot to look forward to.
I think so too.
Well, Karina, on that note, have the best time at Rage Against the Machine.
Dude,
have the best time in Toronto.
You have the best time at Jimmy Buffett. We will reconvene next week. I'm so glad there's so much live music to take part in these days, and we're not even, like, you know, skittish about it. We're just going balls deep like we said we would back in the throes of 2020 when there was nary a pin dropping for us to go listen to. you know, seizing the day, enjoying the music, enjoying this life. And we beg, beseech, and implore you all to do the same. And even if you don't, have the best time in your life over the next week. Do whatever makes you happy, baby. And we will come back to you next week. But first, we have to shout out our producer, Marlo Shankweiler. She wore sandals to the fish show. She's the best. She makes the podcast happen. Shout out to our friend, Brian Brinkman, RJB. These are the people behind the scenes at Osiris that make this whole thing run, baby. We're delighted to be a part of it. And thank you guys so much for having us. And thank you, the listeners, for listening. We can't wait to be back with you next week. Sending sincere amounts of love. Take care.
Take care. Have fun.
Bye.
Osiris.
Hello out there.
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Minahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.